Open your Bibles, if you would, please, with me to, and I do hope you have your Bible and will open it, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 26. I'll begin reading in verse 16. But when he was strong, this would be King Uzziah. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, that's 80, that were valiant men. Speaking of the priests, they were valiant men. Why were they valiant? Verse 18, they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary. Command the priests to the king. Go out of the sanctuary. Sire, if you feel maybe it might be a good idea to leave. No. Go out of the sanctuary. Thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Heath, turn the AC down just a tad, a little bit cool, I think. Verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth, angry, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. He died in a leper colony. Wasn't on a throne anymore. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. What a story, huh? Now, whether King Uzziah was a Democrat or a Republican, the Bible doesn't say. It tells us that when the king intruded upon the spiritual jurisdiction of the sanctuary of the temple, the priests confronted him. In my syndicated column last week, I exposed and opposed President Trump's unconstitutional plans of unlawful aggression, ethnic cleansing, and land theft in Gaza. I'm sure you are all aware of this. After meeting with Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, By the way, Netanyahu had a 90-minute meeting with evangelical leaders before he had his meeting with President Trump. Just thought you'd like to know that. After meeting with Netanyahu, Trump brashly told the world that he fully intends to send U.S. troops to Gaza to clean it out, meaning to displace, ethnically cleanse, the Palestinian people at the point of a gun, and then to turn the Gazan coastline into, quote, his words, the Riviera of the Middle East, close quote. That includes, of course, a Trump Tower and golf courses and mansions on the beachfront property and billionaire real estate ventures, including Jared Kushner and the Trump family cashing in on the deal. We haven't seen anything like this proposed in our lifetime. Democrat or Republican, no president has ever introduced such an obvious intention to ethnically cleanse an entire people, take possession of their land, and turn it into a Disneyland for the billionaires of the world to make billions of dollars off of a real estate venture, made possible by the brute force of the U.S. military. In response to my column, several well-known conservative / evangelicals wrote me, if I named them, all of you would instantly know who they are, expressing their strong umbrage at what I had written. And to a man, their argument was that we are supposed to look the other way when Trump commits illegal, immoral, and unconstitutional things. They didn't say it in that phraseology, but that's what they were saying. That we're supposed to look the other way when Trump does evil, wicked things because of the good things he is doing on the other hand. No, I'm serious. That's what they said. That's what they believe. Well, we know that's not right, but he's doing good things over here. I wrote him back. I don't usually do that. Now, to fully understand the verses that we read about priest Azariah and King Uzziah, we need to look at the preceding verses in this chapter. So go back to verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. Now let's read what the Bible tells us about this king Uzziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. That would be his father, Amaziah. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. 52 years. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Now verse 4 is the key verse. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. All 39 kings of Judah and Israel, the Bible says one of two things about them. He did right in the sight of the Lord, or he did evil in the sight of the Lord. It says that about every single king in both nations. By the way, there's only 8 out of the 39 that God said he did right. All the rest did evil. And none of them were from the tribe of Israel. They were all from, the ones that did right were all from the tribe of Judah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So that tells us, right away, right off the bat, this was a good man. This was a godly king. Okay? Amen. I want you to get that. Yes. This man was not an evil man. He was a good man. And God gave him credit and said he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, that would be the prophet, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verse 7. Just some more commentary about his greatness. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehumans. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. He also built towers in the desert, digged many wells. He had much cattle, both in the low country and the plains, husbandmen also, vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands. Verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped by God and man till he was strong. When he was strong, we read at the beginning. Maybe a little bit too warm now, Heath. So I want you to notice the lengthy godly character of this man. From the time he was 16 to the time whenever the age he was, and we're not sure what age that was, whenever he intruded into the office of the sanctuary and tried to burn incense contrary to the law of God, until that moment, for all of those years, Uzziah was a good, righteous king who did right in the sight of the Lord. Do you get that message?
Yes.
All right. But at the peak of his power, he was lifted up with pride, and he took it upon himself to invade the spiritual jurisdiction of the sanctuary. And immediately, the priests of God confronted and opposed him. They didn't call a convention to discuss it. As soon as the king walked into the sanctuary to burn incense, the high priest, Azariah, and 80 other priests rushed into the temple and faced off with the king and commanded him to leave. They didn't wait. They didn't talk about it. They didn't discuss it. They did it. Uzziah reigned 52 years. So how many decades had he established a good, righteous reputation with the priests? No doubt the priests loved Uzziah. No doubt they prayed for Uzziah. No doubt they supported Uzziah for the good things that he did. But now, on this occasion, when Uzziah challenged the authority of God in the sanctuary, the priest, without question or reservation, immediately confronted him and said, "No, you may not." All the good things he had done did not keep the priests from confronting him when he committed evil. My brothers and sisters, this is the problem that has plagued America and our churches for decades. Pastors are willing to look the other way when Republican presidents commit evil because, as several notable Christians told me this week, Trump is doing so much good in other ways. Therefore, I must assume that King Uzziah was not a Republican. Otherwise, they would have given him a pass. After all, that's what we do today in evangelical America, and that's what those pastors and leaders and Christian conservatives wrote me this week. He's doing so much good, Trump, in other areas that we shouldn't worry about the things that he does bad once in a while. Tell that to Azariah and the priests of Judah, at the reign of King Uzziah. The idea that evangelical pastors and churches could overlook, condone, even justify a president, any president, who would advance the unconstitutional, illegal, and evil plan to invade a foreign land, ethnically cleanse that land, and then allow private billionaire investors, including the president himself and his family, to use that stolen land to personally enrich themselves is not only unconscionable, it is in itself evil. Then those same evangelicals condemn me when I dare to confront this egregious evil. But our story in 2 Chronicles actually punctuates an even greater evil of which Mr. Trump is guilty. A couple of days ago, Trump announced a brand new, never before done by any president, a brand new White House Office of Faith. So now we have a governmental Office of Faith in the White House, which will be led by the high priestess of false prophets, Paula White. White is a blasphemer and false prophetess who unabashedly proclaims devilish doctrines of prosperity theology and God-making. Quoting a segment from a Paula White sermon, which I found on Rank Heresy X page. Good title. They quote Paula White, and the video is on the X page that I had Julie, transcribe it for me. Paula White said in the clip, "Wherever I go, God rules. When I walk on White House grounds, God walks on White House grounds. I had every right and authority to declare the White House as holy ground because I was standing there, and where I stand is holy." Paula White. Yeah, you're right, blasphemy. Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, "Dear Ms. White, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And God said, Draw not nigh thither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. The ground was not holy because Moses was there. The ground was holy because God was there. And Moses was not God." And I don't see Paula White walking around in her bare feet either. News flash to Paula White. There is a God, and you are not him. Amen. Paula White said in this clip, in her sermon, "To say no to President Trump would be saying no to God." News flash to Paula White. Donald Trump is not God. Then Paula White said, quote, "Let every demonic network that has aligned itself against the calling of President Trump, let it be broken. Let it be torn down in the name of Jesus." Such blasphemy. So anyone who opposes the policies of Donald Trump, no matter how unconstitutional or evil they may be, is to be broken and torn down in the name of Jesus. She is the head of the new White House faith office. Everything that opposes Trump should be broken and torn down. Oh, that sounds like it's healthy for the First Amendment, right? Yeah. Trump has surrounded himself with uber Zionists who want to destroy the freedom of speech in America to criticize Zionism or Israel. Paula White was raided by an Israeli agency as being one of the top 50 best friends to Israel in the United States. She is one who, in Trump's first administration, helped to sell moving the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Paula White was a major supporter of that. Paula White is a best friend of Jared Kushner, the Kabbalist, Shabbatist, Zionist leader, son-in-law of Donald Trump. She leads many tours to Israel. She's invited to speak many times in Israel by the Israeli government. She is on record, and I'm posting tomorrow on my webpage, chuckbaldwinlive.com, an Israeli column written by an Israeli in an Israeli newspaper. And I'm posting it tomorrow. And the author is commenting on this new faith office that Paula White is going to lead. So the article is written from a Zionist Israel perspective. The author does a lot of backstory and research on Paula White. And of course, it's all complimentary, because it's an Israeli publication. I didn't have time because I didn't find it. I didn't find this article until about 3 or 4 o'clock this morning, after I already putting all my sermon together, and I'm laying there trying to go to sleep, which is always a lot of fun for me. And so in the remaining moments of consciousness, I'll see what I can find. So I read the story about Paula White from this Israel publication. And then I'm saying to myself, oh, I need to put that in the sermon. But the sermon's already typed, already printed. I'm too lazy. So I didn't put it in. So I'm just going by memory here. So I'm just paraphrasing. You can read the report tomorrow online and get the exact phraseology. But what the reporter said that Paula White said, she reported that Paula White said that she was not trying to convert Jews to Christ. She said that the Apostle Paul nowhere told Christians to win or evangelize Jews to Christ. Paul himself did not try to win Jews to Christ. That Jews have their own way of salvation with God. That's Paula White. Now, I'm paraphrasing. You can go find the exact wordage when it's posted tomorrow. That's Paula White. She is a blasphemer. She is a God maker. She is an ardent, extremist Zionist to her core. Trump has surrounded himself with Zionists. Every single person of position is a Zionist. Attorney General Pam Bondi said this, and this is a quote, whether they're meaning college students, whether they're here, listen, as Americans, or if they're here on student visas. Well, see, did you hear what she said? Whether they're here as Americans or whether they're here on student visas, they're out there saying, I support Hamas. Frankly, they need to be taken out of our country, or the FBI needs to be interviewing them right away. Pam Bondi does not believe in the First Amendment of our Bill of Rights. She does not believe that we, the American people, have the right to speak as we want to speak. She wants to penalize people with politically incorrect speech. Either deport them from the country or sic the FBI on them immediately, whether they're Americans or students here on visas. Ms. Bondi, Hamas is a resistance group to the terrorist state of Israel. I said it. Now, the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, wants to make me a criminal, subject to deportation or imprisonment for saying what I just said. I'll say it again. Hamas is a resistance group to the terrorist state of Israel. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem is Bondi's twin. As governor of South Dakota, Noem signed a law making it illegal to criticize Israel. Governor DeSantis did the same thing in Florida. Our own Montana legislature is about ready to vote on a House joint resolution supporting Israel. Shows you the length of the tentacles, influence, and money power of Zionism into the state governments of our country. What does the state of Israel have to do with the state of Montana? Yeah. Nothing! But Amy McGeer and others are putting forward this pro-Israel resolution to stay on the smiley side of the money Zionists that are funding the politicians nationwide. These people are Zionist fanatics who want to impose their neo-religion on all of us. Let me remind you of our First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. By implication, that restriction of the freedom of religion and speech applies to any branch of government, including the executive branch. Amen. Government has no right to prohibit the freedom of religion or the freedom of speech. No matter how much you don't like it, tough. Now I'm back to Paula White for one final quote. Oh, you're going to love this one. In the same sermon, she said, quote, "You want me to tell you what my thoughts are?"
No.
Come on. My thoughts, the thoughts of the King of Kings, the thoughts of the Lord of Lords. I'm downloading heaven. Then she screams and she starts speaking in tongues. Just FYI, I have a booklet that I wrote, Why I Do Not Speak in Tongues. And for those of you that may have mixed feelings about this, or you've been taught things about this, you don't perhaps understand fully that subject, this booklet explains very clearly and lovingly, very concisely, what the New Testament teaches about speaking in tongues and why the gift of languages in the book of Acts is not the same as the gift of tongues that's being exercised today by so many evangelicals, including Paula White. If you're interested, that is on our store. I hope that you'll get that. What are my thoughts? The thoughts of the King of Kings and the thoughts of the Lord of Lords. My thoughts are God's thoughts. Wow. I read a verse, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Paul ignores that verse. Can you imagine the audacity of anybody saying things so blasphemous as these? She is the head of the White House Faith Office. Prosperity theology is demonic. It humanizes God and deifies man, especially the prosperity preachers themselves. This is the kind of person Trump has put in charge of the new White House Faith Office. I'm sure all the mega church pastors have been burning up their cell phones, calling Ms. White, begging for a seat at the table. And exactly what are the guidelines and purposes of the Office of Faith? Given everything that's being said and the kinds of people that are being put in positions of power, it seems obvious that the suppression of free speech when it comes to Israel and the usurpation of the sanctuary and the abridgment of the pastor's commitment to proclaim the truth of God's word, regardless of whether it's popular with politicians or not, is staring us in the face. I appreciate anything Mr. Trump or any president might do that supports and defends our Constitution and our liberties. I do. Chief Priest Azariah and 80 other priests of Judah supported King Uzziah until he violated his duty to God and to the people by usurping the spiritual jurisdiction of the sanctuary. Then the priests, who are called valiant men by the Holy Spirit, stood up and confronted the king. Any preacher or pastor who does not confront America's politicians of either party, like them or don't like them, when they attempt to usurp the spiritual jurisdiction of the sanctuary, are not valiant. They are cowards, sycophants, and hirelings. Kings such as Uzziah are always with us. What we need are more priests such as Azariah. Let's stand for prayer.